This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Good evening, Capricorn FM listeners. Good evening, matriculants. My name is Mr. Jore from Dendron Standard School. In today's English First Additional Language, we want to focus on your English Paper 3. We're going to focus on your English Paper 3 for creative writing. But before we get deep into the lesson, I think it's important that we focus on the examination guidelines, what the examination guidelines state for this paper, for English First Additional Language Paper 3. It is very, very important that you know what you are expected to do when you write your English First Additional Language Paper 3. So the first thing that you must know is that this paper, your English Paper 3, English First Additional Language Paper 3, is actually marked out of 100. And you are supposed to write it within a period of 2.5 hours. The duration is 2.5 hours. Remember, I am using the 2021 examination guidelines. So this paper consists of three sections. That is section A, it's your essay. Section A it's your essay. And that essay that you're going to choose is marked out of 50. Then section B, it's a longer transactional text. And it's marked out of 30. Then shorter transactional writing, which is marked out of 20. That's section C. So we have three sections. The first one marked out of 50. The second one marked out of 30. The third one out of 20. You are expected to choose one question from these three sections. You are not going to answer everything. Time won't permit you, and you'll be penalized if you don't follow instructions. You must write in English, strictly English. We don't expect any vernacular in English First Additional Language Paper 3. Then each section should start on a new page. That booklet that you're going to get, boys and girls, it actually has many pages, maybe 28 pages. So it's important that your work should be neat. You start a new section on a new page. The other thing that is very important is your planning. You must ensure that you use maybe mind maps or diagrams, flow charts to show your planning. Planning is very important. Then after planning, you edit and proofread. Then you write the final presentation. So the plan must appear before each text that you're going to write. And all planning must be clearly indicated as such and handed in. It is advisable that you draw a diagonal line to show that this is planning. But you must only cancel, let's say, your rough draft of your essay, your rough draft of a longer transactional writing, your rough draft of your shorter transactional writing, after you are convinced that I am actually done with my work. So it is very, very important that you show that this is planning by way of drawing a line across it. And you are strongly advised to spend around 80 minutes for section A, 40 minutes for section B, and 30 minutes for section C. So you should budget your time very well. You should not get carried away and write section C, section A, and forget that we have other sections to attend to. So it is very, very important that you budget your time well. 80 minutes for section A, 40 minutes for section B, and 30 minutes for section C. And you must always remember to number your answers correctly according to the numbering system that is in the question paper. You don't have to change the numbering system. So you write the correct number for the question that you have chosen, and you write the topic. For section A, section B, you do the same. Section C, you do the same. It is very important that you number according to way those questions that you have chosen are numbered on the question paper. And you must remember that you don't submit a text without a heading. So where a heading is not given, you must remember that you choose or you give a suitable title or a suitable heading for each and every text. The text that you have chosen should have a heading. So it's the number of the text and the heading. That's what you must do. And when you now have to count the words, you may not consider that heading or title as part of the numbers, the words that you have used. So you don't count the words that you have used for the title or for the heading. And you must always write neatly and legibly. You may lose marks if your handwriting is not quite legible. The examiner may not be able to interpret or to read the words if they are not legible. So once the examiner is not able to read what you have written, it means the examiner will not get the meaning that you intended to put across. So you will lose marks for that. So it is very important that you write neatly and legibly. Ensure that on that day, you use the best handwriting ever. So for section A, it will be 8 questions this time around. 8 questions. It will be 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 up to 1.8. That's section A. So the length of your work for section A, the essay that you're going to be writing, should be 250 to 300 words. I think it is important. It's obviously important that you have to respect the number of words. So it's 250 to 300 words. Well, my experience tells me that if you write the first page, page 1, despite your handwriting, whether it's big or small or just average, when you go to the second page, you may not necessarily exceed 10 lines on the next page. So by merely looking at the pages 1.5 or 1.25, the examiner can be able to tell that this candidate has exceeded the word limit. So it's important that after writing your first page, when you go to the second page, you must be thinking of a conclusion so that it will be maybe 10 lines, 15 at most on the next page, but not 1.5 pages. That, boys and girls, I think will be beyond the word number 300. So the types of essays that you should expect include a narrative essay. It includes descriptive essay. It includes a reflective essay, discursive essay, and an argumentative essay. Those are the type of essays that you are expected to write. Even though there is the stimulus, the picture that you are going to get, 2 pictures that you are going to get, they can be 3 this time around, you still have to try and stick to those types of essays. Because if you are given a picture as a stimulus, you can make it a narrative essay, you can make it a descriptive essay, it's all up to you. So it is very important that you write an essay that falls under those types that I've just mentioned. That is narrative, descriptive, reflective, discursive, argumentative. We will look into those types of essays to say, what do we mean when you say narrative, descriptive, reflective, discursive, and argumentative, when we'll be discussing the essays in depth. Then now, when you're done with your section A, you proceed to section B. In section B, that's your longer transactional text. That will be your 2.1 to 2.4. So you'll expect 4 questions there that fall under 3 categories. And what does that mean? It means any one of those three sections may have two questions. But that should not confuse you. You still have to choose one question from section B. So what should you expect from the longer transactional text that is your section B? What you expect is that you must answer one question, four questions will be set, but just choose one. At least one question per category. At most two questions per category. So even if you have a category that has two questions, you just have to choose one question. So under category A, what do you expect? If you don't find a friendly letter, you may find a formal letter. And if you don't find a formal letter, you may find a curriculum vitae which goes together with a covering letter. You may find a CV which goes together with a covering letter. So it's very, very important that you study and prepare for all these. Friendly letter, formal letter. It can be a letter, a formal letter of request, or a formal letter where you have to write an application letter, or it's a formal letter of complaint, or it's a letter where you are supposed to express sympathy, or it's a letter where you are supposed to express congratulations or your gratitude. So you have to practice different types of letters, whether it's friendly letter or formal letters. You have to practice different. Then you may also expect a formal letter or informal letter to the press. A formal letter or informal letter to the press. You may also, these days, they have introduced the email. In the new examination guidelines, they have introduced an email. So you must know how to write an email as well. That is category A of your section B. Category B, we have, if you don't find the reviews, you will find a newspaper article or a magazine article or agenda, or you will find minutes of a meeting. And agenda and minutes, they go together. It's a combination on that one. Just like category A, where we have a CV and a covering letter. It's they go together. You may also be asked to write, under category B, formal or informal reports. And under category B, that's where we also may find an obituary. You may find an obituary under category B. Then category C, you may find dialogue or a written interview, written formal or informal speech. That's your category C. But remember, we are still talking about section B. So we said you just choose one. When I say you choose one, if you find a CV going together with a covering letter, we consider it as one, because it will be maybe your 2.1. They say write a CV and a covering letter. We consider it to be one thing. Where you write agenda and minutes under category B, let's say it's 2.2 agenda and minutes, we consider it as one. So you just choose one question, either 2.1 or 2.2 or 2.3 or 2.4. Then you present whatever you shall have chosen. And you must know that you choose only one, and it's going to be marked out of 30. And the criteria for marking is, for content planning and format, it's 18. Then for language style and editing is 12, which adds up to 30 marks for section B. Right? Now, section C, you also choose one. And when you choose one, you'll be given category A, category B, category C. But you have to choose one. So under category A, you may find an advertisement or an invitation card, a flyer, or a poster. That's according to the new examination guideline. Category B is diary entries. And those diary entries can be two, or it can be one. Don't get shocked if you find only one diary entry. It's still okay. You just write one diary entry, but you must remember to indicate, you must remember to stick to the number of words that are required there. It's 80 to 100. And for the previous one, for the longer transactional writing, it's 120 to 150 words. Like we indicated for category A, for section A, it's 250 to 300 words. So you must remember to respect the number of words that are required per section. And we have just indicated that under category A, you can find an advertisement. If there is no advertisement, it means it's an invitation card. If it's not an invitation card, you may find a poster or you may find a flyer. That's category A under section C. So that will be your 3.1. So on 3.1, you may find an advert. If you don't find an advert 3.1, you'll find an invitation card. If you don't find an invitation card, you find a flyer. If you don't find a flyer, you get a poster. Then, category C, which is your category B, which is your 3.2, you may find diary entries or a diary entry. Or you may find an SMS, short message system or short message service. You may find an SMS. That's something new, because what is happening now is our English-based traditional language is dynamic. So as things change, we also have to change with change and adjust accordingly. So they've introduced in the new examination guidelines SMSs. You may be required to write SMSs, and these short message systems that we are talking about may be a WhatsApp message, or WhatsApp messages, Facebook messages, that's your Facebook Messenger. You know, all those things that you are doing these days on social media. You may expect that under category B. It's a new development that we have in our new examination guidelines for 2021. Maybe some of you have just heard this for the first time today, but it's true. You may find any of those things that you do on social media. That's your WhatsApp message, your Facebook Messenger messages, and so on. Then category C, we have instructions, which is your 3.3. If you don't find instructions, you are likely to find directions. So that is basically the structure of your question paper. I thought it was important for us to deal with that first before we get deep into the content. We just deal with the structure. So how is it marked? Content planning and format is marked out of 12. Then language style and editing are marked out of 8. Making the total 20. So if you check properly, section A is out of 50, section B is out of 30, and section C is out of 20. And if you add these marks, they add to 100. And it's possible that you can get 100 out of 100 if you do what you are supposed to do, follow all instructions, no mistakes, no grammar mistakes. It's possible. So get in with that, into that examination with the mentality that I have to go and get the maximum marks. Very important, because you have already seen how you probably performed if you assess yourself in paper 1, paper 2. So in paper 3, you have to go and Work extra hard, boys and girls, so that your symbol or your mark for English Face Additional Language will be pleasing. We will meet, boys and girls, and we'll continue after break, boys and girls, with our English Face Additional Language. Thank you very much. Welcome back from the commercial break. Before we went for the commercial break, we were dealing with the structure of English Face Additional Language Paper 3. At this point in time, I want us to go through some comments that we got from one of the diagnostic reports for English First Additional Language Paper 3, so that as you prepare yourselves for English First Additional Language Paper 3, you know what your predecessors, the learners, the candidates who wrote the examination before you were doing, which is wrong, and the recommendations that were provided by the examiners. So we must go through the diagnostic reports. The first thing that I have here is that they say candidates must be encouraged to prepare well for this paper, as the skills and language structures used in the first two papers can be applied here with great success. It means you have to use the skills that you get from paper one, when they correct you, grammar, spelling, vocabulary, concode, tenses, when they teach you those aspects of English in English First Additional Language Paper 1, you must come and apply them here. Characterization, when you are creating your character's plot, the theme that runs through your essay, you learn them in Paper 2, you must apply them in English First Additional Language Paper 3, so that you write a very convincing essay. Then the next comment that is here from the diagnostic report is saying the positive impact of practical issues like neat handwriting. I think we talked about it earlier. A pen of good quality, it's important. When you're writing your paper three, you can't get in with a pen that does not really write clearly. And the other thing that is also a practical issue that we talked about is the issue of starting a new section on a new page. I indicated earlier and said that, boys and girls, that booklet has 28 pages. And for you to think you are wasting pages, it's a bit ridiculous, because you have a booklet that allows you to skip page, to start on a new page when you start a new section. So it's very important that you start each section on a new page. And you must cross out all the rough work. All the rough work, you take your pen, you draw a diagonal line on the rough work, so that it's clear that this is the piece, the final piece that the examiner should mark. And you must remember to give each piece of writing a clear and correct number and the title, as we have already talked about when we're talking about the instructions there. To say each section or each question that you choose should have a question number, and that question number should be aligned with the question number that is on the question paper. You are not going to change the numbering system that has been used on a question, on the question paper, because that will confuse the marker as to which question you have chosen. If it's 1.1 that you have chosen, you must indicate 1.1, then you write the heading, "The day I will never forget," for example. 2.2, remember the categories that we indicated, to say under 2.2, they will give you this particular text, then you indicate the heading. Then if you choose, let's say 3.3, if it's instructions, you say instructions on how to use my laptop. So it should be a number and a heading. We don't want a section where we won't find a question number and we won't find a heading. We must see a question number and heading. Section A. Section B, question number and heading. Section C, question number and heading. But remember, this should be started on a fresh page. Each section should be started on a fresh page. Then the other comment that we found in one of the diagnostic reports is saying, The importance of sentence construction and paragraphing cannot be stressed enough. You remember the types of questions, the simple sentence, how is it constructed? You don't have to write sentences as if you are writing poems where there is syntactic inversion, the change of word order. No, follow that style that we know of constructing a sentence. Then a paragraph, you know that each paragraph carries one idea that is well elaborated. You start off maybe with your linking word and you go to your topic sentence. Then you go to elaboration. Then you give examples. You're done with that paragraph. Then you proceed to the next paragraph. So one paragraph should carry only one idea. Then the other point that we found from the diagnostic report says, the importance of planning, proofreading, and editing must be stressed and taught. When we started the lesson, I indicated that there must be evidence of planning. Then after planning, you do proofreading and you edit your work. Then you cancel the rough draft. This will help you to produce a well-structured and a coherent piece. If you don't do this, then it's quite likely that your essay or your final piece will not be quite coherent. So it's very important that you do editing, you do planning, you proofread your work so that the final piece just flows smoothly. The other comment from the diagnostic report says, teachers should emphasize the purpose of each writing text piece, or as this is determined by tone. So here, what is important is that if you, for example, you are writing an obituary, we don't expect a happy tone to be running through that obituary. It's normally a sad tone that we must see. So you must choose appropriate register that is in line with the piece of writing that you have chosen. So it's very important that you use the correct register. You must know the tone. You must know the audience that you are addressing. If it's a formal letter, we obviously expect formal language. But if it's a friendly letter, though the language has to be correct English, but it doesn't have to be formal words that you'll be using there. We are saying, yes, it's English, but the language that you use is not the formal language that you'd use in a formal letter. Then the issue of length is one aspect that the diagnostic report is also commenting. They say here, many candidates exceeded the limit of 300 words, leading to penalization as the last part of the essay was disregarded. So according to the new examination guidelines, yes, the length is still 250 to 300 words, but we want to give you that liberty to say, if maybe you still have to write your conclusion in the next 10 words or 15 words, you can do that than to leave your essay hanging, saying the examiner is going to penalize me. But the importance of you having to plan is to give you direction as to the number of words that you have used in your rough draft, and that will guide your final draft. But I am saying here, let's say you have done proofreading, you have done editing, but still you find that your conclusion falls maybe in the 10 words that come after 300 words. You may be safe if you have concluded maybe around 310, 300. I am not saying you can start being stubborn and you disregard the length. But I am saying here, it's important that you conclude your work. Do not leave your work hanging, saying I have reached the maximum number of words that is expected. That's why planning is important. But don't leave your work hanging, thinking that the examiner will penalize you. you must try to stick to the number of words, but we still want work that has been concluded. When it comes to the formal letters, like I said, we'll deal with the content, but you know the structure of a letter. We'll deal with that. The formal letter and the informal letter are obviously different. So we expect one address in the informal letter, friendly letter. We expect one address. Then your salutation, it's dear, depending on the question. If they say, the question says, write a letter to your aunt, it means you'll give that aunt a name, dear Aunt Mary, dear Uncle John. You don't just say dear aunt and leave it like that. You know it's your aunt, so you know the name of your aunt, obviously. It's creative writing, boys and girls. So you may not just leave it hanging like that and say dear aunt, because the person is saying write a letter to your aunt. No, it's not like that. You have to be creative. Then when you're done writing that formal, informal letter or friendly letter, because this person knows you, you are not going to use your surname. So you just say, with love, Alisa. With love, Bryce. You indicate that name of yours without a surname. With love, Marvelous, for example. So you don't say, with love, Marvelous Jore. No, you don't do that. Bryce Jore. Alisa Jore. No, you just indicate the first name, because that person knows you. It's your aunt, it's your uncle, it's your friend, it's a letter to your mother, so you don't need to include the surname. But if it's a formal letter, this person doesn't know you, so you write your surname and your initial, and your signature should also be seen there, and you indicate your gender in brackets. Your gender in brackets, Mr., Miss, or Mrs., depending on the title that you use. So when you are writing instructions, the instructions have to be clear. They don't have to be muddled up. No. The instructions have to be very clear, straightforward sentences. If it's direction, we must see where the person is starting from, where the person should end. And planning is also required. So planning is required for all the sections, the three sections. Quite often learners come to us as teachers to say, sir, should I include planning when I am busy with section C? Yes, planning should be there for section C. Should I have planning for section B? Yes, planning should be there for section B. So they should be planning for all the three sections. There is no exception to say, because this is section C, it's just instructions, then you leave it like that. So when you're doing your planning, you may use a mind map. You know how to come up with a mind map. I don't think we should take much time on that. You expand your mind map maybe into paragraphs. Let's say your piece of writing is going to have 5 paragraphs. It means your mind map should have that center bubble, and maybe the other bubbles on the sides, they should be 5 representing the paragraphs. Or a spider diagram, it's a strategy for making notes on a topic prior to the writing. Is very, very important. So the advantages of mind maps is that a mind map should be something that is spontaneous, that just comes, it's as a pre-writing activity. You don't need to think about it to say, oh, so how do I come out? It's something that should just happen, because it works well as a visual design that will enable you to see the relationship between your ideas. So when you look at your mind map, you should be able to establish the ideas that will be part of your writing. Mind maps work especially when created in groups. Since the discussion, this helps or engenders, aids the production of ideas. That mind map will help you to come up with more ideas, because you are looking at that idea and you say, okay, let me add this idea. Let me make this, add this idea. That's making your work very much enjoyable. So when you're writing a paragraph, the paragraph should start with a topic sentence. Then after that topic sentence, there should be supporting ideas. Let's say you are writing about the importance of bringing cell phones to school. Let's say it's an argumentative essay where you are saying learners should bring cell phones to school. When you are writing that, you have to have your introduction. Obviously, for every piece, there should be an introduction. But what can be the first topic sentence of the first paragraph? You can start off by saying, firstly, we want to see a linking word. Say, this is my first point. So we say, firstly, or to begin with, cell phones will help us to apply for space in universities online. That is your topic sentence. So we know that in that paragraph, you are going to be explaining why we need cell phones to apply online. You indicate that most of the universities these days do not accept hard copies. So if you have got a cell phone at school, it becomes easy for you, maybe during break, to apply for admission into universities the following year. This is quite convenient if you have your own cell phone than waiting until you knock off from school and you go to the internet cafe. Maybe you knock off at 4:30 and you need to travel for 30 minutes to get to the nearest internet cafe. It means when you get there, they will be about to close, or maybe by that time when you get there, they shall have knocked off for the day. So if you have a cell phone at school during break time, you can use it for applications. That's how you should develop your paragraph. So each paragraph should have that topic sentence, and it should have supporting ideas. And I prefer to say your paragraphs should have those logical connectors, those linking words, like firstly, secondly, in addition, moreover. Those are some of the nevertheless, although, on the other hand, provided that, or unless, those are some of the linking words that you can use to connect your paragraphs so that there can be cohesion and coherence in your writing. Your paragraphs should be married to each other, because we are talking about an essay that is being developed. So there should be some kind of logical development that is noted in the way you connect your ideas using those linking words. When we come back from the commercial break, we'll be dealing with the types of essays. We will just brush over them because we have dealt with them in the previous lesson, and in the previous lessons. So it's just a reminder, because we are getting closer to the final examination for English language, first additional language paper 3. So you need to remember the narrative essay, the features of the narrative essay that we expect: descriptive essay, argumentative essay, discursive essay, reflective essay. So when we come back from the commercial break, we will be dealing with that quickly. Then we, time permitting, we proceed to section B. But if the time doesn't allow us, we still have one more lesson to deal with the structure of English paper 3. And we are taking advantage. We won't only dwell on the structure, but we also deal with the content of English first additional language paper 3. It's time for a commercial break. Welcome back from the commercial break. Before we went for the commercial break, I indicated that we will be dealing with the types of essays for Section A. Like I said earlier on, Section A, you will get 8 questions to deal with. Then you choose one. You just have to choose one. So under the type of the types of essays, we have the narrative essay, and when you're dealing with narrative essay, you must think of the setting, that is the place and the time where the events, when the events are taking place. Then you think of the characters. That we don't have to have a lot of characters that may confuse your examiner. So it's very important that you stick to at most three characters. Then you deal with conflict. What is the problem? You create a problem which will be developed up to the climax. Then we see a resolution in your story. If your story is like follows that structure, then it will be a very interesting story. Then the tense that it should run through the narrative essay should be the past tense, because you are narrating events of things that happened, that have already happened. Right? Now the descriptive essay, you can take that picture, the stimulus that you are given, and make it a descriptive essay. For example, the picture that I have here is the picture of a dove or a pigeon. Yeah, yes, a pigeon. Then you can come up with a descriptive essay where you give it a title, a bird at my window. Bird at my window. Then for it to be descriptive, you may write it like this. Glancing up from my homework, there it was, one bold pigeon. You see the word bold pigeon glancing from my window. You're not just saying looking up my window, looking up from my homework. No, glancing. Then a bold pigeon. Those words give the marker a picture of the type of bird that you saw. Impatiently, you see, using adverbs, adjectives, it marched to and from on the windowsill, bobbing its head in a business-like manner and tutting softly. So you are using even onomatopoeic words. You are using similes, using figures of speech. That makes your descriptive writing to be very interesting. So it's very, very important that when you're writing a descriptive essay, you use descriptive language. Then, from descriptive language, we can look into discursive essays. Discursive essays. The purpose of a discursive essay is to present arguments from differing viewpoints. So it means you take two different viewpoints and you bring them into your essay. That's a discursive essay. The language features, you use simple present tense. We want to see the paragraphs that are well developed. Then at the end, you must give us your stance, your real stance in a discursive essay. Because you have brought two ideas, but we want to hear what you think about those ideas. Let's say you are talking about the issue of cell phones being brought to school. On one side, you are saying, yes, they should be brought to school, because maybe you raise 3 points for the topic. They help in capturing high school memories. You expand that paragraph. They help learners with online application. Then you expand that paragraph. Then you also say cell phones can be used in case of emergency when you have to communicate with people at home. You develop that paragraph. Then you say, however, to bring cell phones to schools may be detrimental. Then you start raising your first point. Maybe learners may start capturing some images of what is not acceptable, and they can post them on social media, which may result in learners fighting at schools, as your first point. then the cell phones can be used in a disruptive manner. For example, Mr. Marvelous is busy teaching English paper 3, and one learner starts chatting with a friend or a family member, that becomes disruptive, or somebody has to answer a call, then it becomes disruptive. Now, you have given us the two sides of your argument. Then later on in the conclusion, you indicate that after weighing the advantages and disadvantages of bringing cell phones to school, it can be recommended that cell phones should not be brought to school because they are disruptive in nature, because they can cause some fights at school, and learners will start comparing their families, because some may not afford expensive cell phones, therefore that will take their attention from their studies. So cell phones should not be brought to school. So in that discussive essay, we want to see the stance that you take. And there is what we call an argumentative essay. So its function is to argue a case for a point of view, to convince the reader. That is an argumentative essay. So in an argumentative essay, we don't have to provide the other side of the argument. We only provide one side of the argument, where they normally say, do you agree? Uniforms should be banned. Do you agree? Cell phones should be brought to schools. Do you agree? In that case, now you just have to provide an argument, one side of the argument when you are writing an argumentative essay. And the language feature then is that you use the simple present tense. Then your paragraphs, like those paragraphs of a discursive essay, we want to see well-developed paragraphs where we have the linking word or the logical connector followed by the topic sentence. And after that topic sentence, we want to see the elaboration where you are going to be giving even some examples. Right, that's about the types of essays. Oh, there is the reflective essay where we want to see your feelings. They can say where I see my future in maybe in 10 years, or my best high school teacher. There we would just want to hear your feelings. You also express your emotions in a reflective essay. Now, I want us to move on to transactional writing, but we are going to focus more on longer transactional text, and that is your section B. Now that we have covered your section A, I think it's important that we focus on your section B, longer transactional writing. So on longer transactional writing, we have already indicated what you should expect, the categories that you should expect in your longer transactional writing. But I think we should deal with letters. It's very, very important that you know how to write either a formal letter or an informal letter. So for an informal letter, we all know that it has to be one address, which is the sender's address. That's an informal letter. The sender's address, yourself. But that address doesn't have to be a real address. You can just create your own address with a code. Then the date, just under your address, the sender's address. Then you skip a line and the salutation comes, where you say, if it's an informal letter, the examiner has asked you to write a letter to your aunt, thanking her for the laptop that she just bought for you, as you will be proceeding to tertiary next year. So that aunt that you are going to write, you say, dear Aunt Susan, dear Aunt Marjorie. We want to see the name of the aunt. That's creative writing. Then after that salutation, we now get into the introduction of the letter, the contents. Why are you writing that letter? And the body follows, and the usually it's just three paragraphs. We don't expect that you write many paragraphs, four paragraphs, no, just three paragraphs will be enough. Then your conclusion followed by, with love. When you end that letter, you don't say, in an informal letter, you don't say, yours sincerely. You can just say, with love. So the address here, if you opt a street address, the street number is written in front of the street name. For example, 56 Nelson Mandela Avenue, Melville, Johannesburg, then the code and the date. So after writing the street, the avenue, and they should also be, they should always be capitalized. Nelson Avenue, Melville, names of places, so we expect that you should capitalize there. Then in the last line, the suburb is mentioned, followed by the suburb is mentioned, followed by the town or city and the postal code. Then the date follows. So it is very, very important that you punctuate correctly. So here I have an example of a letter. 31, Dog Avenue, and Dog is capitalized. Avenue is capitalized. Then Bath Park. Bath is capitalized. The word Bath Park is capitalized, capital letter B. Notting Hill. Notting Hill is also capitalized, capital letter N there. Then the code, 2045, followed by the date. Then you write, Dear Ntombi, you're writing this letter to Ntombi. And there should be a capital letter there. If it's Alisa, it's capital letter A. Dear Bryce, if it's capital letter B, so you must always remember to capital. But after that Bryce or that Alisa or that Ntombi, we don't expect any punctuation. Even after writing dear, you don't include any punctuation there. It's just dear Ntombi, no punctuation, no colon, no comma, no full stop. Thank you for your interesting letter. I also enjoyed the 4 weeks we spent together in Dendron, or I spent the weeks that we spent together. But it doesn't have to be your hometown. Think of another town. All my other friends are so jealous when I showed them the pictures. I will never forget those days, especially our fascinating trip to Gold Reef City. I wish I could be there now. Back at school, that's the second paragraph. It seems as if, again, nothing has changed because the teachers only allow learners who are doing their homework to attend classes. I have been kicked out of some classes. This circumstance eventually leads to lower quality of education. We won't be as qualified as we should be. That's your second paragraph. The third paragraph, by the way, you have just started a new school. Do you have some problems at that school? If you don't, you are especially lucky. I mean, I hope that you don't have to experience all those stupid things, that the situation can be so much better at your school. Can it? I'm truly sorry to bother you with all this stuff, but I think you can understand the way I'm feeling at the moment. Then the closing remarks. Maybe we could meet again during our holidays. It would be great to see you again and just to get out of this. Please call or write back. With love, then your name. Very, very important that you don't punctuate again here. You just write with love. You don't write yours faithfully. It's a friend letter. You just say with love, or your loving friend. Then your name without your surname. Boys and girls, tomorrow we'll continue with the other aspects of Section B, longer transactional text. Thank you very much and good luck.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.